2 hours left. Kings and Warriors tomorrow. We will be out at Chase Center beginning at 3 o'clock to bring you a 3-hour show. Then it's game night, pregame, followed by the Kings and the Warriors. In a moment, we'll talk with Doug Christie. If you want to get in on the program, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. That's 339-1140, 800-920-1140. We are talking a lot about the Kings, but obviously what's going on and what happened with these, you know, with the ceremony today. I mean, that was something else. You know, I had the chance to watch that in its entirety, like I'm sure a lot of you did. And it was powerful. It was riveting. I thought Vanessa Bryant was just remarkable. I mean, if you did not see that, just go and find Vanessa Bryant. Matter of fact, we're going to play it for you a little later, okay? I mean, just amazing what Vanessa Bryant, the courage, the I don't even know what else. I don't even have the adjectives to describe how phenomenal she was. And you try to put yourself in her shoes, you know, someone that's not used to being in front of the microphone and the cameras like that, and, you know, losing her husband and daughter, 20,000 people in the building. She was incredible. Absolutely amazing. I was shocked when they called her out because I didn't think that she would be speaking today. But just amazing. Beyonce started off the show. When I say show, excuse me, the memorial, the tribute, the celebration, she was just remarkable. The whole thing. I thought that, you know, the Lakers, the folks at the Staples Center, Kobe Bryant's, I guess, group, everybody, they just did a marvelous job putting that on, an absolute marvelous job. All right, if you want to call the show, 339-1140. That's 339-1140, 800-920-1140. I don't know if Doug's coming on or not, so give us a call. And we will have Luke Walton. He will be calling us hopefully in a couple minutes. We'll talk to him about what happened today. We'll replay, not replay, but we'll play for you the comments earlier today from Vanessa Bryant. Again, if you want to call the program, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Coming to you from San Francisco, talking a lot about not only today's celebration of life for Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gigi, but the Kings and what is going on with Mark Cuban and the Mavs, what the punishment is going to be like for him. Spring training is going on. The NFL Combine is in full swing with free agency and everything else. That's going to be a very interesting period of time in the NFL. And while all that's going on, they're trying to get a collective bargaining agreement with the players and the owners. I don't care about that. All I care about is get it done. I don't really care what the terms are, the deal. I mean, as a fan, I've never really concerned myself with the business side between the players and the owners. Like, who cares? Like, I mean, that's not, why would you as a fan care about that? Are you playing or are you not playing, right? Are the games available to be played when they're supposed to or not? That's what I care about. All right, let's get to Brian on Sports 1140. Hello, Brian. Hey, Brian. Brian, going once. Brian, oh, twice.
Hi, Grant. Grant, got a question for you. How do you feel Vladdy's doing this year overall with the team? And overall, with Luka, I know there's a lot of national media speculation.
Hey, you know what? I'm not talking about Luka anymore. You want to talk about Luka? Call up a Dallas Maverick station. He doesn't play for Sacramento. What else would you like to talk about?
Overall, Vladdy, the Kent Bazemore trade was excellent. How else do you feel he's done this year?
I can't judge anything this year because they haven't had a full team. I can't judge the coach in terms of working with a full unit. I can't judge Vlade because the number two pick in the draft hasn't played other than 13. His starting point guard missed 19. His starting center has been out now well over a month. You know, his starting two guard has missed 11 games. I can't evaluate anybody this year. All I can tell you is I love the way the team's playing right now. I love the way the team's playing right now. They're playing well. They've won 8 of 12. They're together. The guys that aren't playing are up on the bench cheering for the guys that are playing. The chemistry is good. The locker room's good. Everything's good right now. I like what I'm seeing. I really like what I'm seeing, Brian.
I love hearing it. Thanks, Grant.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it. All right. Again, 339-1140. And I really mean that about Luka. Go root for the Mavericks. You know, if it bothers you that much, stop rooting for the Kings. Go buy your Dallas jerseys, your Dallas T-shirts, your Dallas hats. Go root for the Mavs. No one's going to be upset at you if you do that. Go for it. Become a Mavericks fan. You know, go root for the 7th seed Dallas Mavericks. You know, that's fine. Go root for the 7th seed Mavs. And root for Luka. And you know what? Good for Luka that he was an all-star this year. He's got a hell of a future for a guy that's only 20 years old. He'd be a good guy to hitch your wagon to. He's 20. You know, he's going to be around for a long time barring injury. Hitch your wagon to him. Go root for the Mavs. All right, again, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Don't forget that Luke Walton is supposed to be joining us. We'll have him on before we adjourn, hopefully, at 7 o'clock. The Kings stayed down in Los Angeles, went to the Kobe Bryant Celebration of Life, and have arrived in San Francisco. All right, let's get to David. Hello, David.
Hey, Greg, just a couple questions. Number one, you know, I watch the Kings closely every game. I may not call in all the time, but, you know, one of the key turning point of the season, I believe, was that Miami game on the road where they played extremely well, even though they lost. Do you agree? Or?
Yes, I do agree.
Okay. And then my next thing is, if the Kings are able to pull this off, it's not impossible, but let's just say if they're able to pull off 40 wins or 41 wins, right? That would be better than what Dave Yeager did. So would that be one of the great turnarounds that you've seen for the Kings?
No. I'm not comparing anything this year to what happened last year because of all the injuries. I don't think the Kings are going to get to 40 wins. I hope I'm wrong, and I hope I'm coming on the radio on April 16th, the day after Game 82, admitting that I'm wrong. I think that is a very tall order. In order to win 40 games, they're going to have to go 17-9 the rest of the way. That's going to be very challenging. 17-9 is not going to be easy. I'm not saying it's impossible, David, but 17-9 is going to be very difficult.
Okay, but would you consider the season a success? Okay, what is the number of games you would consider?
There's no number of games to me is going to make this season a success or not, because this season has been 1 year of a rash of injuries. That's how I'm going to remember this year. I'm going to remember this year as a year where I thought the Kings were a clear-cut playoff team that was derailed by injuries. That's how I'm remembering this. So I don't know how you would judge it a success. I'll ask you that question. How would you judge it?
Well, with everything that has gone through, you know, I'm actually in the minority. I actually believe in Luke Walton, you know.
No, you're not. No. You see, you're wrong there. You're not in the minority. You're in the majority. There are some, okay. But the folks that aren't Luke Walton backers and supporters, they're the minority. You're not in the minority. You're the majority.
So if he gets his team over 30 wins with all the injuries, because, you know, injuries are a big part, and he's had a lot of them, I think that's probably one of the better coaching jobs I've seen. Now, I'm not an NBA analyst, but I've been watching NBA for a long time. With everything that he has to endure, if he's able to get this team over 30 wins, that would be it.
Well, they better win over 30 wins. They got 23 right now. They better win over 30. Thanks for the call. Let's get to Brian. Right. Hello, Brian. How are you?
Hey, good, Grant. Hey, you mentioned a little bit ago the Fox injury, what have you. Question, do you have the stat offhand, what the record is with Fox in the lineup?
But it's not relevant because he wasn't the only one missing, Darren. You know, he was also Marvin Bagley wasn't playing. And so, you know, you'd have to look at the combinations of who else was hurt in those games that De'Aaron Fox was. I could find it for you. But again, I think it's misleading because he wasn't the only one that was out.
Yeah, no, well, yeah, that makes sense. But that one stretch of the where how do I phrase it? We were playing well with the guys who were subbing in, and then we got in a stretch where we lost like 11 of 13, whatever that was. You mentioned that stat. That was the lowest point of the season, and for me as a fan,
I agree.
Probably the lowest point of in recent memory since the prior to the Vladi era. So with all that being said, it's great to see what they're doing, and I felt and getting rid of Ariza was another big trade that kind of changed things up. And I went to the Spurs game and I saw Bazemore live. That guy is a fantastic role player, and he does what he's exactly supposed to do off the bench.
I agree with you, Brian. Well,
and that change and putting Buddy on the bench, and coupled with that and with the healthy Fox, that those three items seem to be spurring us on. And I'm, as we end the season, if we can get to mid-30s, considering the injuries and being hopeful that Bagley returns next year and we can see what he's doing and add him to the mix, from that low point of that 10-game stretch to that, that gives me that's a good turnaround as a Kings fan for this year, if that makes sense.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's move along to Rico. Hello, Rico.
How you doing, Grant?
What's happening?
No, I just hope I can get a couple minutes of your time without hanging up on me because I have a couple issues I want to talk about.
Okay.
And I am, I think any real Kings fan looks at themselves as the realest Kings fan there is, So a real Kings fan thinks that. So my first issue is, so I know, we have a lot of injuries this year.
Can you ask the question, please?
Yeah. So you condone Jaeger getting fired last year, and you condone Buddy Hield on the bench. Buddy Hield's our best player. Buddy
really?
Hield ain't been hurt.
Guess what? I have something for you. Did you? Let me ask you something. Did you watch the Kobe Bryant celebration of life today?
I ain't got time for Kobe Bryant.
Have time for Kobe Bryant. Well, I don't have time for you. Screw you. Doug Christie, I have all the time in the world for. He was at the celebration of life for Kobe Bryant. The reason why I brought that up, Rico, because you're brainless and your IQ could freeze water, is Shaq had a very funny speech for about 10 seconds when Kobe wasn't passing the ball and his teammates asked him to talk to Shaq or to talk to Kobe. And he said he did. And he went up to Kobe and said, hey, there's no I in team. And Kobe said, yeah, but there's an M and an E, me, mother blank, okay? So, it's not about individual players. It's about a team. Doug, I know you were down at the Staples Center in there for the 2.5 hours. Can you even put into words what it was like being in that building for that?
It was, Nate, hello, first of all. It was one of the most incredible experiences that I've had from the singers, Beyonce, Alicia Keys, the stories. First of all, the incredible the basketball players and dignitaries that were there to pay the respects to the video tribute that was incredible for both Kobe and Gigi. It was something special. It was the way that if you're going to try to represent somebody who what I would say was a shining Nova Grant that crossed our eyesight so very quickly, but was able to live a 200-year life in a short amount of time. And that is shown by how many people he was able to touch. Unfortunately, as I watched those videos of Gigi, I had nothing in me that wasn't going to tell me that she would not have been a WNBA player. And it was sad. The saddest part for me was watching Vanessa not necessarily talk about Kobe, but talk about her baby.
And it was unbelievable.
For the parents out there, that was probably one of the most touching things that I've seen. It was very, very powerful, Nate.
That was incredible. I watched every second of it today from my hotel room in San Francisco. Doug, you and I have talked about this privately, and we've talked about it a little bit on the air. When I'm watching that today and I'm listening to Michael Jordan talk about Kobe, and I listen to some of the other people up there talking about Kobe, I now understand why you as maybe his fiercest competitor in terms of that rivalry with the Kings and the Lakers, why more times than not, Doug, he got the upper hand? Because when I hear Michael Jordan talk about how Kobe was so obsessed with every single aspect of the game, it resonates with me even more than you and I have discussed about why he is truly one of the greatest players of all time.
It does, Mapes. I mean, you and I and our fans who listen to me talk about basketball, I digest basketball now differently than I did when I played. The problem was he digested it the way that I digested it while we were playing, and that obsessive nature. So he was looking at what I was doing and what we were doing as a team totally different, and the way footwork, all the different angles and different things. And that is that's a true artist. That's a black belt in his profession. And the fact that he loved the game that way makes me love him, because I love the game and I respect the game. And that's, as you and I have talked many times, that's a sad part for me as a person selfishly, because I never got the opportunity to speak to him on that level. But you're right, to hear him talk to Michael, to hear him talk to these different people about this beautiful game. He was obsessive about it, and he dedicated every ounce of his life to it.
Was the entire team, the entire Kings team, at the celebration today?
Yeah, everybody went. There were Celtics there. Even James Harden and Russell Westbrook were there, and they had a game. So I'm sure they had a private jet that probably took them straight there. I believe there were multiple teams who came. From Manu and Timmy and Tony Parker and Pop. I mean, you name anybody in the basketball universe, pretty much they were in the building. There was chilling chants of Kobe, that there were just certain parts that just absolutely brought you to tears, man. But it was good tears. It was something that was needed, because he's touched a lot of people, Napes, and sometimes you don't realize it, unfortunately, until you're not here and you pass. But just looking at that accumulation of not only talent but intellect and all the different people that was there, dignitaries, it was incredible.
The pain and anguish and will last forever, especially to the loved ones of Kobe and all the ones that knew him. When you left the Staples Center today and got on the bus to go to the airport, did you get a sense that we finally had closure?
Yes and no. Yes, from a standpoint that, for instance, that was the first time that we've seen Vanessa, and that's the first time that we've ever heard her talk about her baby and her husband. And I think for a lot of people, that's closure, because that was a piece that hadn't been done. But this game of basketball is alive. And when from watching Diana Taurasi speak, and the game is in good hands. A lot of people respected Kobe, not only his work ethic, but how he approached the game. And if you want to say minions or whatever, a legion of followers that are willing. So that closure, his imprint, it's not going to close. It's going to forever be open. And it's a good thing, because the way that he went about the game, the way he approached the game, the way he loved, that's how you're supposed to do it. So from that standpoint, yes and no, closure. A lot of hugs,
yep.
A lot of people that haven't seen in a long time, and you hug them and you tell them that you love them and that you truly appreciate for maybe what they did for you in this game as well.
We're talking with Doug Christie. Doug, I'm going to make the transition, if I can, just for a moment or two, about what we have been watching with the Kings, a huge road win on Saturday. What has impressed you the most about the Kings now going 8-4 in their last 12 games?
You know, first and foremost is the consistency of De'Aaron Fox to continue to set the tone. I think the attention to detail by the Kings, meaning that, you know, if there's times where, okay, all of a sudden he doesn't have it, guys come in, they're doing their job. You got guys like Kent Bazemore who's stepping up big. For instance, Buddy didn't have a great game the other night, but the Kings are still able to win because guys step up, and that's what's supposed to happen on the team. So I would say more than anything, I'm seeing little things, Grant, and that's the attention to detail. And those were the little things that were slipping earlier in the season, when, and that's what happens when you win lose games by 2, 4, 6, and 8 points. You've given up on attention to detail that is imperative for winning. And as they do it, they're more competitive, and there is a fire and a sense of urgency in them. But this will be a game against Golden State that'll be a big telltale, because you beat a team you weren't supposed to beat in the Clippers, but you come back against a team in Golden State that you should beat if you have any aspirations to keeping this hope alive of whatever it's going to be. And this will be a really good test for them.
Last thing, I was blown away with what I saw from Alex Len. I was not expecting that at all on Saturday. I assume you were in the same boat.
Man, totally. You know, you and I have both seen Alex play many times. But to, same with Kim Bazemore. Until they lace up the shoes for the Sacramento Kings, I look at them in a different way. I'm studying them differently. And Alex, first of all, is bigger than I thought. He is a big man. But his willingness to protect the rim, his willingness to be active, his willingness to rebound the basketball, his understanding of pick and rolling to the rim. And one thing that I loved about the way he rolled to the rim, when he caught it by the rim, he tried to dunk it. He got free throws based upon that. I agree with you, Grant. I was really, I mean, in all likelihood, most people say, oh, he's just a throw-in piece. But he was actually a contributor. Now, can he do it consistently? Obviously, that'll be the question. But I would agree with you. I was really, really excited about what I see. They need a big body. And all of a sudden, yep, there's a 7-foot guy that can protect the basket and is willing to rebound.
And he sets good screens, Doug. I was impressed with the screens he was setting.
Yeah, well, listen, you know what? If a guy sets a good screen, that he gets open.
Right.
He sets a good screen.
Right.
The defense has to go to the basketball, and he ends up being open. And the way that he was setting them and rolling, really good stuff, especially when you got guys like Buddy, when you got guys like Bogdan, and you got De'Aaron Fox, who can get downhill. They need good screen set, and if that happens, it creates mismatches, and the Kings will be shooting wide-open shots all night long.
All right, Buddy. Appreciate it. We'll see you soon.
You got it, man. See you in a little bit.
All right. Doug Christie, just arriving in San Francisco with the team. He was at the Staples Center today for the celebration of life for Kobe Bryant and his daughter, Gigi. We'll come back. We'll open up the phone lines for you at 339-1140. That's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Back right after this. Back here in San Francisco, glad that you are with us on Sports 1140. KHTK 339-1140, 800-920-1140. We check in with Ray. Hello, Ray.
Hello.
Hello, Ray. Go right ahead.
Hey, how you doing today, Grant?
I'm good, Ray. What can I do for you?
Man, it's my first time calling, man. I listen to y'all all the time, man. I love y'all, man. But last week, you caught me by surprise, man. You said Trae Young was overrated. And right after that, it sounded like he heard you, because you see what he's been doing lately, right?
Yeah, he had 50 points. He had 50 points. I just, you know what? I'm about winning. I'm not about individual numbers, and I want to see the Atlanta Hawks win some games. The reality is, they have the second worst record in the league at 17-40 in the conference at 17-41. And at Trae Young, who plays the league's most important position, is so great. How come they're 17-41?
You know what? That's a great point, because he's a point guard. I guess you got to make everybody around him better too, also.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sold on Trae Young. I know he's a tremendous individual talent, but I don't know if he's going to make other players around him better. You know, he's got some good talent around him. They shouldn't be 17-41. They got John Collins is a heck of a talent. You know, they should be more than 17-41. I'm not blaming it all on Trae Young, but he is the starting point guard, and it's a reflection of him, in my opinion.
Do you think they're going to have to look another way at coach or what?
I'm not ready to, first of all, in all honesty, I don't watch the Atlanta Hawks play every night. I'm not going to sit here and blame the coach without knowing exactly what's going on. But Trae Young, he's talented. There's no question about it. I mean, he can flat out. But, you know, Jerry Reynolds once always told me this. He said, hey, even bad teams have a leading scorer. All right. Every team's got leading scorers. Let's see if he can get this team to win eventually.
Yep. You're right, Grant. I appreciate you, man. Thanks a lot.
Hey, I appreciate you taking the time to call the show. Thank you. Let's get to Lynn. Hello, Lynn.
Hey, Grant. How are you doing tonight?
Okay,
hey,
Lynn.
I just want to talk about the Spurs first game. They looked pretty good against the Utah Jazz. I don't know if you saw that score in the box score. And then
yeah,
they
I did.
Come back and follow up against the team they beat on the road, the Thunder, and they look disinterested again.
I know they looked. They weren't even competitive. I didn't watch that game, Lynn. I don't know if you did. They weren't even competitive though, based on what I read.
It's just like it's like this is the problem with the Spurs. Like I said, their inconsistency, and it starts with Aldridge. They need to trade him for something. I want to move over to Luka, but please don't hang up on me, Grant. If I was a Suns fan, I'd be really upset because you know why? Didn't they hire his coach from overseas?
Yes.
And, I mean, okay, you already hired the coach from overseas, and then you don't pick him, and then you have to fire that coach like a year later or somewhere in that first year.
Yep.
I mean, everyone wants to talk about that. How many teams pass it? And if you did choose Luka, what would you have to do with Fox? Nobody wants to talk about that, Grant. Everybody wants to complain, look at the players head-to-head, but it's the whole team, Grant. If you get Luka, you got to get rid of Fox, and you probably wouldn't be no better than you are now. That's my take on Luka.
Thanks, Lynn. Appreciate it. 339-1140, 800-920-1140. We get to Casey. Hello, Casey.
Hey, Grant. Thanks for taking the call. So I wanted to take issue with something that you said, and hopefully you'll let me finish my point. Let me start by saying I've been a Kings fan since Mitch Richmond, and I've been listening to you for over 20 years. And I hear a lot of times you tell people when they call in and they get upset about the way the team's playing this year and you know you constantly let us know it's because of injuries, but you start to get upset with people because they say it so much that they're upset with the direction of the team. But you have to understand, and I know you've said it many times and you've said it to me before because I call in all the time and you say, you know, last year doesn't have anything to do with this year. But you got to realize that even though it may not have anything to do with it, the fans that are calling in, we've been dealing with 14 years, and it's just no matter what the issue is this year, if it's injuries, yeah, there's been a lot of injuries, but injuries aren't the only thing. The Kings' record with De'Aaron Fox is 14-23 when he plays, and they're 9-10 when he doesn't. So it's not, you can't just say, oh, De'Aaron Fox, if he would have been in the lineup those 19 games, they would have had five more wins. That means they would have won 14 and went 14-5 in those 19 games, but they only won 14 with him in the other, you know, however, 38 that he's played. So you can't just blame it all on injuries. And you got to understand that us Kings fans are passionate, and we're not just frustrated because this year we have 14 years of not making the playoffs. And you know, I know Vladdy's your friend, and you got to stick up for him. But how many GMs get 5 years and not have one winning season? It's not just this year because of the injuries. You got
well, you know what? Fire Vladdy then. Go ahead, fire Vladdy then. What do you want to do? Vladdy's gone. I just fired him. Now what do you want to do?
I'm not saying fire Vladdy. I'm just saying that there's more than just, you can't just keep blaming it on the injuries this year.
Well, I'm sorry. The injuries are the number one reason why the Kings are 23-33. It's their number one reason. Number one. Now there are other reasons, but it's at the very top of the list. It's number one.
No, I understand, Grant. But what I'm saying
there
is
no
that when
but.
Fans call
there,
it,
there is no but. It is the number one thing. You can't just say but. Now, you can give me some other reasons, and I can give you some other reasons, but it's not like a but. That is the number one reason.
No, what I'm saying, though, is that you get so upset with fans, and I think you got to take it easy on us, Grant, because we've been losing for 14 years.
I do take it easy. Hey, Casey, I'm going to share something with you, all right?
All right.
You listen to me a lot, right?
Do you have
any Do you have any doubt about how much I love the Kings and my passion? Do you have any doubt at all?
I do not.
Okay. Do you realize that for the Kings not making the playoffs in 14 years, do you know how much money that's cost me? Because I get paid per game in the playoffs. Do you realize, like, if I really wanted to be upset, Casey, in addition to being a fan, from a financial perspective, it's cost me a ton of money with the Kings not going to the playoffs for 14 years. So in addition to loving this team and also being a fan like yourself, it's actually hit me hard in the wallet. So think about that from my perspective. Trust me, Casey, I want this team to win as much, if not more, than you do.
I understand. You're not going to get me to feel sorry for you, though, Grant. You get courtside seats every night, and I know you're making pretty good money. So.
Hey, Casey, I'm not asking you to feel sorry for me. I'm just trying to paint the picture. Like, you act as if, like, I want this team to win as much as you do, I guess is where we're getting to, you know?
I think my only thing is, like I said, I've been listening to 20 years, and, you know, I just think that sometimes the fans get upset because it seems like you defend Vlade to no end. And like, it's almost like,
how am I going? What do you want me to criticize Vlade on today? You tell me, and let's have some fun. Let's have a criticize Vlade segment. Go ahead, criticize him.
Okay. If you look at the draft picks that Vlade's made in the last 5 years, how many are still on the team? There's I think three that get minutes on the team, and one of them we didn't even keep for $3 million tender for next year. So he's had a lot of draft picks, almost more than anybody because of the second round picks. I know second round picks don't usually pan out too much, but all the picks he's had, you know, you don't really get credit for De'Aaron Fox in my book because anybody would have taken De'Aaron Fox at five. There was five players and he fell to us. So other than that, you know, Bagley's still up in the air. He could be great, and, you know, I hope he is. He's only 20, maybe 21, so hopefully he's still great. But his draft picks haven't been great, and his free agent signings, in more than 1 year, he's traded his biggest free agent signings halfway through the season.
Yeah, but so, look at the free agent signings that he did make that have proven to be very good for the team. Look at Rashawn Holmes. Why are we going to ignore that? Look at Corey Joseph, who, by the way, if you don't believe it, Jerry West came up to Corey Joseph in front of Doug Christie and told him how great he was and that every team in the league would love to have him and how much Jerry West loved to watch him play. He also went out and signed Nemanja Bjelica as a free agent. Are we going to ignore that? He also took the draft pick that you're referring to and traded to get Bogdan Bogdanovic for a guy, Marquise Chris, who can barely walk and chew gum, all right? So I'm okay to talk about the moves that he hasn't made, but why don't we talk about some of the good moves that he has made? Are we going to just ignore those?
No, he's definitely made some good moves. I don't hate Vlade as a GM. I just think that, man, I don't even know, Grant. At this point,
I'm okay to criticize Vlade. I'm okay with that. But I'm also going to say, if we're going to criticize him, let's talk about all the good things that he's done. Let's not just have a one-sided conversation.
No, I think as of last year, he, in my point, was on the uptick and things were looking good. I think the signings in this offseason weren't the greatest. I do like the moves that he made to get.
I mean, would you rather have Justin Jackson or Harrison Barnes?
I'd rather have Harrison Barnes.
Yeah, pick. All right, and he also got Harry Giles with that pick, all right? In other words, he traded the 10th to get Justin Jackson, who turned into Harrison Barnes, and now, you know, Harry Giles, who the whole community loves, and who, by the way, Casey, I believe will be a Sacramento King next year. I don't think he's going anywhere.
I hope so, because, I mean, it would be devastating to see another guy leave us and turn out to be, you know, like Gerald Wallace was, and, you know, we let go in the past. I know that was a long time
ago.
You
can't compare it to Gerald Wallace. Gerald Wallace was playing behind Peja Stojakovic and Hedo Turkoglu. Come on, Casey.
No, I'm just saying, a guy that, had to leave it and turned out to be a great player.
But, thanks, man. I got a roll. I gave you a lot of time. Great. I appreciate it. Have yourself a good rest of the day. We'll be right back on Sports 1140 KHDK. Hope you're having a good afternoon. Coming to you from San Francisco solo, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Let's keep the calls rolling, and we check to Adam. Hello, Adam. Welcome.
Hey, Grant. How you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you.
I just wanted to call, and the last caller, I think his name was Tracy. I don't agree with anything that he said as far as you can't say Vlade did a good job grabbing De'Aaron Fox. He fell in our lap. Because the picks before were Markel Fultz, Lonzo Ball, and Josh Jackson, and all those guys aren't even on the same team anymore. So you got to give credit for making the right picks, even if Fox was there. We all like Fox. Second of all, what I appreciate about you, Grant, is that you do keep it real. You tell the fans, the callers, not what they want to hear, but what they need to hear. And I don't want you to take it easy on us on these callers. If there's something you feel that you need to tell us, I like that you keep it real and you keep it honest. Thank you.
Thank you. It's the only way I know how. I appreciate you taking the time to call the show. Let's get to Paul. You're on with Grant Napier on Sports 1140. Hello, Paul.
How you doing, Grant?
Okay, Paul, what's up?
I can understand Casey's frustration to a certain degree, but also, I mean, you know, you got to look at some of the plus sides of what Vladdy has done. I mean, first of all, what is everyone talking about that we're not making the playoffs this year? Really? So everyone's saying the Kings can't do this, the Kings can't do that. Have they been watching the last 12 games? Have they noticed when they wore red and they wear the Sacktown uniforms to go out and ball out of control? Have they noticed that? Have they noticed Ken Bazemore? Have they noticed what this team is about now? This team is different. Have they noticed Terry Giles, how good of a basketball player this guy really truly is? You got to understand, Grant, this ain't over yet, okay? This road trip is going to be very crucial coming up, very crucial to this Kings making the playoffs, and they can still do it. So I haven't heard this whole conversation. I just got off work. But what I can tell you is this ain't over yet, and I can guarantee you that. This is not over yet with the Kings. They're playing very well. Buddy's coming off the bench. He's playing very well off the bench. Even if he doesn't like it, I don't care. We're paying him $93 million. Stay on the bench. It is what it is. The Kings are balling right now, and I love the chemistry. I love what I see. What do you think?
Well, Buddy's a big reason why the Kings are 8-4 in the last 12. He might be the main reason why the Kings have gone 8-4, and I think Kent Bazemore has a lot to do with it. But I think Buddy's okay. I mean, I really do. And even if he's not, as you said, who cares? He's got a contract. The Kings made him a very handsome contract. And I got to tell you, he's been a consummate professional since coming off the bench. I haven't seen any issues with Buddy Hield at all. Paul, thank you for the call. Let's get to Sid. Sid, you're with Grant Napier. Go ahead.
Hey, Grant, thanks for taking my call. I love talking right after a fired-up caller like that.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I wanted to talk about, and this will talk even further about Buddy Hield, who a lot of people were down on earlier, by the way, who was the number three in three-pointers made, only short behind some guy in Portland, Dame, and some strange guy with a beard in Houston who really jacks up three. So, being number three behind those two, even with an off year, that dude can shoot the rock.
Yes, he can.
And this point of you really need a three-pointer in this league. Point being, you and Doug, at the end of last Saturday's game, there was a play where Kawhi was leading the fast break, and he was trying to find a player headed toward the basket. But in this world, he backed up to the three-point league,
yes,
three-point
right.
line. And I'm thinking, boy, is that not a microcosm of the state of the way basketball is right now with all these three-pointers? And you got to have them these days. I'm not a huge fan of that type of basketball. I miss the days with no-look passes, and I'd rather watch a dunk over a three-pointer. My era was the Rick Mahorn Bad Boys, and I love that type of basketball, but that's gone.
Yep.
And it's now three-point barrage, and you got to have someone like Buddy, and he's pretty damn good at what he does, being
yes,
only short to those two guys. So I think it was a hell of a pickup, and like you just said in your last call, to be coming off the bench without any smirk, that guy's he's great. We need guys like that that's going to stick around, because the game's only going to get even more three-point. Now, my point with that is, what do you think of it? I told you my favorite era of basketball. You've been watching this game longer
I don't like the way the game's being played now. I don't care for it. They've gone overboard with the three-point shooting. The game is not meant to pass up a wide-open two to kick out for a three. I'm not a fan of it. I would like to see. Jerry Reynolds has said it best over the years, and for those that have not heard, Jerry was spot on. He said, get rid of the corner three where the three-point arc stops becoming an arc and becomes a straight line towards the baseline. Eliminate that, and that way you eliminate corner threes. Because you see a lot of teams on fast breaks kick the ball out into the corner because it's a shorter shot. And Jerry said, get rid of the corner three. And I agree with him. Get rid of it. I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah, there's just way too much jacking up of those things. I don't know how fans can just keep enjoying it. Watching James Harden do it, he can make a billion of them, but I don't like watching him do it. It's just painful.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it, Sid. Rob is next on Sports 1140. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Grant, how you doing?
What's happening?
Hey, question for you. I don't have any issues with Vlade Divac. He's, in my opinion, he's not to the level of Jeff Petrie, but he's head and shoulders above Joe Axelson from back in the day. But do you think the Kings, with the level of talent that they have, that they would be better if Michael Malone was the coach? Because, I mean, I was bummed when Rick Adelman left. But
there's nobody in the NBA that would coach this team this year that would have many more wins than they currently have. Just not possible. That the injuries were too much. You can bring Greg Popovich in this year. You could bring Steve Kerr in this year. You could bring in Eric Spoelstra this year. Maybe you'd have one or two more wins. And I say maybe, but that's it. No, I don't think I'm a huge Michael Malone fan. I wish he was still coaching a team. I wish he had never left. But unfortunately, but that's just the way it is.
Yeah, no, I get it. I just didn't know if, you know, with Malone being at the helm, if he would have made, you know, players might have reacted to him better than Luke Walton and, you know.
No. You see, I don't even know why you said that. It's the players love Luke Walton. I don't know how many times I need to say that. The players on the Sacramento Kings absolutely love Luke Walton as their coach and respect him as their coach. There's no issues there. I don't know why someone like yourself just made that statement. What are you basing that statement on? Why would you say that for?
I just thought there was some strife between Buddy Hield and Luke Walton, you know. Number of weeks or months ago, and I just thought that with Malone being the coach, that things were a lot harmonious.
Now, Buddy and Luke Walton are fine. Okay, they're fine. That's number one. Number two, Buddy talks in his sleep. I'm positive of it. Buddy doesn't ever stop talking. Buddy can wear you out because Buddy just doesn't ever shut up. And everyone on the team understands that and accepts Buddy because he's a very bubbly, effervescent personality. And they get that. So there's really not any, what word am I looking for here? There's not any discord. There's not any of, gee, we hate Buddy or Buddy's this or that. It's just that Buddy's a different individual. He's so amped up. He's so hyper. He doesn't ever stop talking. And it can be very frustrating in communicating with Buddy because he doesn't allow you to talk.
I've got some students like that, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Hey, you have a good rest of the evening. Thank you very much. We'll be right back. This is Sports 1140 KHDK.